There was a man who walked the shores of Galilee. He stood and watched the rippling of the waves. He gazed into the future, saw
none other. Hallelujah. For those of you who are watching the news, I got some interesting stuff developing with this convenient suicide of a pedophile who was selling young girls to high diplomats and these guys who are in government. All of a sudden, there's some confusion on why he died and how he died and all sorts of stuff. I heard something very, I watched something very interesting, a clip from about 3 years ago. Hannity was talking to Trump about Bill Clinton. And Trump said, Bill Clinton is a pretty good guy, but if he keeps hanging out with this Epstein, he's gonna be in trouble. And guess what? The guy committed suicide, and now Bill Clinton is free. Who will know the difference? It's not only Bill Clinton. I think Our guy from Ottawa was involved. Remember the helicopter ride he had to a certain island? Things have happened there. And it's even suggested that child sacrifice took place in those sin places, in those islands. Devil worshiping and unbelievable garbage. But we'll wait till it all comes out. God is not asleep. He will bring them out in the open. He will. The Bible teaches us what is hidden, he will shout from the rooftops. So we're going to see some interesting stuff taking place. It just takes too long for me. You know, that's my problem. I like instant coffee. I like McDonald's, where it's quick. If you get there early in the morning, you know, that's how I like things. But this is dragging out and dragging out. And God has a way of revealing the corruption that we so trusted. I heard one guy say, now there's at least two parties. But before Trump became president, there was only one party. They were all in the same stuff. And that is so true when you watch what's going on. And I hope it's not the same here in Canada, but I believe it's very close. But God is going to separate. He's going to reveal the corruption, those who are trying to bring down the morality of a nation, not only America, but of Canada. God set it up. And God is going to make sure that the corruption is going to be revealed. And I want to speak today on an interesting message of our responsibility of interceding. Last week I was teaching on we are reconcilers. God has reconciled us to God, but we reconcile people to God. And then God does the miraculous. He makes them a new creation. Our DNA changes. We then come a purchased possession. We are not our own, for we belong to God. And we need to intercede. He doesn't pray for the world. He prays for us. It's our job to pray and intercede for the world. And sometimes you'll come up against something, somebody who you've been praying for. I met somebody who I've been praying for, and I spoke to him a little bit, and I saw this demon peeking out from his eyes. And I realized it's not him that's keeping him bound. It's a devil. And I have to bind that devil. So that's what I'm going to start doing. It's just something that crossed my mind while I was talking to him. And you bind it to the forces of darkness because they keep your eyes and ears closed of your loved ones. And I want to share with you a message today that will really show us what our responsibility is. But before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the word of God. You will open our hearts and our minds today to what we need to do. So bless us with understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you to this very interesting story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it is interesting to note what happened for those of us who read the story. I've studied it, and I have come to an interesting conclusion. In Genesis chapter 18, in verse 17, it says, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I will do? And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now to see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up to me, and if not, I will know. This is kind of an interesting statement that God makes. First, he wants to tell Abraham about it. And then he tells us here, I'm going to go see if it's really so. God knows everything. He knows everything that's going on. He knew how bad Sodom and Gomorrah was. But he wants to make sure that he's got us at his interest. He's not going to make a mistake about slipping you through his hands. He's going to check you out before he allows you to go. So he wants us to see this here. He tells it, and I'm going to share this with Abraham. Now, why would he do that? It is because when you study through scriptures, God is looking for intercessors. He is looking for people who stand in the gap. He was looking for different types of people, regardless where you are. If you're a Christian, you're an intercessor. You are the salt of the earth. We are there to keep back the evil. And God has placed us in the positions we're in. And we need to take that position very serious and not say, well, I'm just a housewife, or I'm just a husband, or I'm just a worker, or I'm just a boss at a big company. You got work to do when it comes to the spiritual. It tells us in Genesis 18 in verse 22, that's when God was already speaking to Abraham. He came there with two angels, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. That's the two angels. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now listen to this. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Preadventure, that means perhaps, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? We have to remember there were five cities. And here Abraham was pleading. He started with a pretty good number. I think it's a low number, 50. He made sure he had them. 50, he said. And God said, if there are 50 there, I'll do what? I'll stop this destruction. And then we all know the story, those of us who read it. He then said, maybe there's 40 there. And God said, well, if there's 40, I'm going to save the place for the 40. And then down to 30. Perhaps there's 30 in there. I'm telling you, there's five cities, thousands of people. If there's 30 there, then I'll save it for the sake of the 30. And then down to 20. By golly, that's coming down very, very low. If there's 20 left. And God said, if there's 20, I'll save it for the sake of the 20. And then in Genesis 18, in verse 32, Abraham took one more shot at it, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet this once. Perhaps 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10th's sake. What if he would have said 5? What if he would have said, Lord, give him another chance? But he stopped at 10. God wants us to understand something. He needs an intercessor. And we shouldn't stop at 10. We shouldn't stop at old age. Oh, he's 90 years old. If he doesn't know it yet, he'll never know it. No, he still has breath in his mouth. And we need to intercede for them. And he said, if there's 10 there, I will save the city for the sake of the 10. And if you have to understand how wicked these people were. The Bible teaches us they went after strange flesh. That's not necessarily homosexuality, because homosexuality is not strange flesh. That's the same flesh where human beings have. But what they were talking about there, it's the demonic realm. They were intermingling themselves with the demonic realm. and they were into child sacrifice and all sorts of garbage. Archaeologists have found stuff that boggles the mind sometimes about what happened in those places. When they read on what's happening, what happened in those places. And we also know the two angels came into Sodom and Gomorrah, into Sodom. And Lot said, quickly, come to my house and stay for the night. No, we're going to stay here in the street. And Lot knew what would happen if they stayed in the street. And what did they do? They came and said, we want those two men. We want to rape them. And this is what is so mind-blowing. The angels of God, they blinded them. And the Bible teaches us, they looked for the door until they were exhausted. Totally demon-possessed. And God said, if there's 10 there, I will save the whole lot for the sake of the 10. Look how demon-possessed they are. So if you look at the world today, you can clearly see we still have interceding to do. We haven't reached yet the place of Sodom and Gomorrah where there's not even 10 left. But God saw the ones that were righteous. And when you study those righteous ones, it leaves you a question mark. What does God call righteousness? Because he offered his daughters up to those pedophiles, to those demonic beings, and they didn't want them. They wanted those two men. So if a father does that, how low has he dropped? But still the Bible calls him a righteous man because he believed in God. This is the ticket for us, believing and loving God. Now let me take to a different subject here. How many of you remember Jonah, the famous prophet of fleeing from responsibility? God told Jonah, there's this city of Nineveh. You need to go and preach so that they'll repent. And Jonah tried his best to run the other way. He wasn't afraid of them. The thing was, he didn't want them to repent. They were one of the worst enemies that Israel had. The archaeologists said they would skin their prisoners alive. They would rip the womb of the mother open and grab the baby out and dash it against the rock. They were incredibly cruel. And God said to Jonah, go there, tell them to repent, and then I will save them. And Jonah said, I know what you're going to do. They're going to repent and you're going to keep from destroying them. So I'm going this way instead of that way. And God had to be very, very serious with Jonah. You go and tell them. Jonah didn't want to. He hated them. And now here is Jonah sitting at the end of the whole thing on a hillside. And I want to read you a little bit on how he and God argued back and forth. Can you imagine arguing with God? Jonah chapter 4 and verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on this gourd, because a vine had grown up and given him shade. And then a worm came and cut, you know, a cut worm does still that today, cut off the vine and it dried up. And Jonah was so mad. I'm not going to use the word I had in mind when I studied this. And thou hast pity on this God. For that which thou hast not labored, neither makes it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night, why should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? For those who want to get rid of all the cows, God loves cattle. He loves the animals. He said, man, look what would be destroyed there. And here you sit crying over a plant that died. And these people who don't know their right hand from their left, they are going to perish. Why did they not know their right hand from their left? Because they were blinded by Satan. And that's what happens to the people that we're trying to reach. They don't know their right hand from their left. That's why we need to intercede for them. God has given us the job of reconciliation. And we know what happened. The people of Nineveh repented. Yes, they were destroyed, but it took 140 years instead of 40 days. Look how many people God saved. And Jonah is going to get the credit for that up in heaven, even though he strictly didn't want to. So we can take heart from that. The meager efforts we put in are written down, and we're going to be rewarded. Hallelujah. Now listen to Luke 23 and verse 33. And it's about the cross of Calvary. Jesus is hanging there. I want to show you the picture. And when they came to the place which is called Calvary, where they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said Jesus, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Think about that. The creator of the universe being ridiculed. For those of us who read the story, he's ridiculed, he's blasphemed, he slapped him in the face, he's bleeding, he's basically dying from the awful scourging he had received. And Jesus is hanging there suffering. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And it says they parted his raiments and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself." He didn't come to save himself. He came to seek and save that which is lost. He's not lost. We're lost, and this is why he did it. And it says, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." If he is the Savior, let him save himself. We need to be saved. And at the cross of Calvary, he forgave us. He forgave all the human race, not only these that were doing this. "Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That included the whole earth that is blaspheming him, that have been separated from him. "Forgive them all, Lord." Isn't that an incredible statement to make? Now, that's an intercessor. Abraham stopped at 10. Jesus said, "Forgive them all." But God has a way of saving us. And for those of us who are saved, who turn to this blood of Calvary, I want to show you what this Jesus is doing right now. And he's not going to stop at 10. He's not going to stop when you're 80 years old or 90 years old. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 33, if you have problems with your salvation, if you have problems with eternal security, once you're born again, you need to listen to this message again, especially the scripture I'm going to give you. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." And how did he justify us? Through the blood of Calvary. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at" where? "At the right hand of God, who also does" what? "He makes intercession for us." So if you're born again, your back is covered. I don't care what you are, where you are, and what you're doing, where you come from. He makes intercession for us. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Now listen to verse 37 and 39. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. We didn't only conquer through Christ, we did more. Our debts are paid, plus we're above. We got an incredible bank account which we can draw from. I am as clean as the blood of Christ can make me, thanks to that revelation, Brother James, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. If somebody is afraid that down somewhere along the line he's going to fall away from Christ, nor things to come, they are not going to separate you, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you ever studied that? If you do have some qualms about how saved you are, study the scripture. Regardless what happens here on earth, we are a purchased possession, and the God of the universe, he is going to guard us with everything he's got. And as far as I know, nobody's going to slip through his fingers, because the Lord God, Jesus Christ himself, said, I will lose none. Hallelujah. All those you have given me, I will lose none. We need to study these scriptures. As I'm getting older, I feel more confident. I feel more at ease. I feel more at peace, because the love of Christ is closing in on me as I'm drawing closer to my expiry date here on this earth. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. As we get closer to God, he is closing in on us and is keeping us, holding us, and making sure we know that we know that we have him. So let the Lord open your heart to this and give you an extra oomph of serving him, loving him, and appreciating him. Let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing. Amen.
Last week, I had the privilege of ministering to some unsaved people who were ministering. The three of us were singing in Carrick. And there was, I gave my condensed version of my testimony and told them that I was born again. And this gentleman came up after, a Frenchman came up to me, and he says, I heard you say that you were born again. He said, I'm born again too. And he says, I've got an interesting story to tell you about my mother. My mom's birthday was yesterday, 92, so I'm still interceding for her. Turned 92 yesterday. I don't know if she knows the Lord or not, but I've told her point blank range how to get into heaven. Anyway, getting back to this Frenchman there, he was telling me about his mom. She was when he became saved, he was telling her about Jesus. And she told him, I am Catholic. I don't want you to ever mention the Bible or anything about Jesus in this house, ever. And she says, I never did. And one day when all those pedophiles, priests came out, it got her to thinking, what's there something wrong here with my religion? So one day he asks her, and he says, I was oblivious to it, but anyway, she asked me, or she told me, she was listening to Billy Graham. And he figured, oh, that's good. He says, a few weeks later, she asked me, is this and this in the Bible? And he said, I was thinking, here's this woman who forbid me to say anything about the Bible, is asking me if this and this is in the Bible. And I go, yes. And again, he says, I was oblivious. I just did not dawn on me that she was searching. And then one day she calls me and says to come over. She's got something to tell me. So I come over and wondering what she got to tell me. She says, I became born again through Billy Graham. And this is a woman who you could not mention Jesus or the Bible, anything in the Bible, a staunch Catholic. But God saw her, even with her devoutness to Catholicism. She wanted to go to heaven. She wanted to be in heaven. And that was enough for God to go down and say, okay, now is the time. And God answered her cry through her wanting to get to heaven. So I thank God there's hope for my mom or for anybody that's old in your family. Don't ever give up. Again, this song that we're going to sing is just in my mind all week. For weeks it's been in. It's basically the gospel in a nutshell, and I love it. It brings me much joy just having it in my mind and heart. It's yet not I, but Christ in me. I love it.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life, it's wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.